listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to talk with missionaries this week. I'm so excited. We get to have two missionary conversations. And today, in this first conversation, we get to head to Taiwan. I'm super excited about this because we get to talk with a sacred music educator, which is one of the most unique types of missionaries. And
I think my favorite kind, actually.
Oh. Well, now the secret's out, so... I'm excited about the conversation. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Becky Bartelt. She serves as a sacred music educator in Taiwan. Becky, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you very much.
We're delighted to have the opportunity to sit down in studio with you because we don't get to do that every day with missionaries, and we don't get to come out in the field very often either and meet our missionaries in the field. So thanks for taking some time away from your meetings here in the building to come spend some time with us. Let's talk about your path to serving the Lord in Taiwan. What were you doing before joining this team of missionaries in Jai?
Well, I'm going to go all the way back to graduating from college.
Fantastic. I love it.
In December of 1997, and I said, I don't want to be a substitute teacher. What else could I do? And so my pastor at the time from college said, well, what about volunteering with at that time it was called World Missions? And okay, I'll try. So I applied and interviewed, and they said, how about going to Kazakhstan for a year? And I said, well, where's that? So I ended up doing that for a year and a half. I was what's now called a geo missionary, but it was called a volunteer missionary then, teaching English and doing some music in the church. And then after that, I was told about a position at a Christian International boarding school in South India, in Kodaikanal, way in the southern tip of India. And I applied for that job, and I served there for 5 years. Teaching choir, classroom music, strings, voice, all kinds of music stuff for 5 years in South India. Then I taught music for 2 years in Germany at an international school. And then I had done the colloquy program while I did that. And then I served at the Lutheran High School of San Antonio for 14 years teaching choir, band, theology, and German. And then I was in Lincoln, Nebraska for 3 years teaching music and theology. And one summer I was thinking about Jesus' words where he says, give to everyone who asks, or sometimes it says begs. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that, but I can certainly do more than I'm doing now. So I was looking at Lutheran World, LCMS World Relief, and somehow got on the LCMS Office of International Mission webpage and saw, they're looking for a music person. They're asking for a music missionary. I have music skills, and I'd always thought maybe when I retire, I could do like a geo thing again or something. And then I thought, I'm relatively not that young, but I'm kind of a little bit young and kind of healthy. So maybe now is a good time to do it. And so I applied and found some connections in the Asia region and did all the whole process and ended up being called and accepted the position.
That's a path.
I have so many questions.
I love it.
That sounds really cool. How long have you been serving in Taiwan then?
I've only been there for 2.5 years now.
Okay.
So this is my first reconnect here in St. Louis.
Right. Okay. So you've been a lot of places.
Yeah.
Music seems to be the common theme among everything that you've been able to do. So tell us about what it means to be a sacred music educator now.
Okay. So for me, there's a variety of things that I get to do in Taiwan. As you know, we talk about as missionaries, share the gospel, plant Lutheran churches, show mercy. And so in terms of sharing the gospel, one of the big things is something that I know you had Mindy Taves on, and she talked about English Bible camps. Well, I get to do the music for that. So that's one way that I get to serve.
She had amazing things to say about you
she
in that
did.
Story.
Oh, dear.
It's all coming together now.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Both sides of the story now.
Yeah, so we've got two coming up this summer with U.S. volunteers. So if anybody likes to serve in that, we've got three probably next summer. So think about that. And then also, she and I work once a week at a local, it's kind of a after-school enrichment program, but it's also kind of a cram school.
Yeah.
And so I teach songs and teach hand chimes. And we do everything from Old MacDonald Had a Farm to bingo to He's Got the Whole World in His Hands to VBS songs. Because last summer, they allowed these cram school children to come for English Bible camp at our church. So these kids all learned all the English Bible camp songs. So they let us do just about any music we want to in the classroom. And then Mindy takes the vocab from the songs and reinforces the English with games so that they know what they're singing about.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's two things. We also have lots of outreach concerts. So we had one at Thanksgiving. We just had one at Easter time. So we got to talk about, or before the concert started, I just thought I should explain why Christians sing sad sounding music in the spring. So I got to explain about Lent and Easter.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been really interesting. Jai, which is the city where I live, has this program for adults over 50 to learn a new musical instrument. And so Irene Paul, who is a missionary wife and a Taiwanese person, she has joined a lot of these groups. And so she's in a flute group and a cello group and a ukulele group. Anyway, so she invites all of her friends from these groups to come perform in these concerts. So we have these over 50 people playing instruments they've been playing for 4 months. And then we also get to share, you know, Easter and Lent music and explain what it is. And the local pastor explains and gives a message at the end. So that's another way that we get to share the gospel.
That's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to keep going?
Sure.
Yeah. There's more.
We're all in.
Okay. So I guess in terms of planting Lutheran churches, well, I'm not a pastor, so what do I get to do, right? So my main focus in that area is choir music, because we have a hymnal that, or a test booklet that Dr. Paul and Sandra Ryan did a lot of work for. So we've got a body of hymns, but the churches want to have choirs, but no choir music to sing, right? So sometimes I've been able to find an arrangement on CPH that is just the hymn text with nothing additional, because otherwise somebody has to translate it.
Right.
And I wrote them and said, can we do this? I think it was an Easter piece. And they said, in Chinese. And they said, sure. So it was wonderful. And one time, Dr. Ken Koshy, who used to be the director of choirs at Concordia in Wisconsin, He several times arranged a hymn for us just out of the goodness of his heart. He didn't charge us or anything.
He's wonderful.
He is wonderful. And he even wrote instrumental parts for the instruments that we had. So we got flute and French horn for our Easter piece 1 year. And so that's been wonderful. And we had a Reformation hymn festival last year. We had Pastor Tim Frank from David's Harp. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So he came out and he arranged 3 hymns for the choir at the hymn festival. So then they have more music to sing. And he also did a workshop on how to arrange hymns for choir.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then I've done some workshops on handbells. Sandra Ryan's coming out to do an accompaniment workshop.
Nice.
So all kinds of stuff.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So much.
I know. I'm so glad that you shared this. I had no idea all this was happening in the field. So that's just fascinating. You've been in Jai for about 2 years, 2.5 years?
2.5 years, yes.
How did all of your prior service support you or benefit you in your move to Taiwan?
Mm-hmm. Well, people kept saying, oh, you've lived all over the place. You're probably not going to go through culture shock or anything. And I said, well, you know, mostly I'm going to know that I have to go through it again.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder.
Well, at any rate, I guess just knowing what I was going to be, what I was in for. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Kazakhstan, I was like 23. So I was learning Russian at the time. And probably after 6 months, I felt kind of functional. Like I could go shopping and talk to people, probably not, you know, teach a Bible study, but functional.
Yeah.
And after 6 months of Chinese, I thought, what's happening to me? This is so hard. But I'm also, I turned 51 this May, so I'm a little, my brain's a little older. But Chinese is such a challenging language for a couple reasons. One is that there's no alphabet. There's just thousands of characters. So you cannot sound a word out. You have to just know this character says this. Plus, every syllable in Chinese has a different meaning depending on the tone. So there's a flat tone, a rising tone, a falling tone, and a down and up tone. And so for example, thy strong word, the end of it is hallelujah without end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Chinese, it's hallelujah ge bu ting is what I thought it was because I was reading the pinyin, which is English letters spelling out the Chinese sounds because I don't know all the Chinese characters yet. And so I was so confused because I know the word hallelujah. Ge means song. Bu is no or not. And I thought the last word was ting, which means to listen or hear. Hallelujah without listening? So I asked my friend and he said, well, Becky, you're right. Ting does mean to listen or hear, but this is ting, which means to stop. Yeah. So it's hallelujahs without song, without stopping, which makes a lot more sense.
Okay, but how does that work musically, though?
Well, it's a challenge. And I'm not good enough at Chinese yet to translate hymns. But when I talked to Dr. Paul, who has a translation committee for the hymns, and he said, musically, you cannot even match the melody always with the tones. But you have to be careful, especially at the end of phrases, that you're not implying a meaning you don't intend to.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
This sounds very complex.
Yeah, I imagine. But also really, really cool that work's being done.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break.
Okay.
I'm totally in the story. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm on top of the clock. We're talking with Becky Bartel, sacred music educator, serving the Lord in Taiwan. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Becky Bartel, sacred music educator serving the Lord in Taiwan, sharing with us some really, really great work that you've been able to do in the team that's in Taiwan, being able to do all of this musical work. It's very interesting to learn what you've been able to do. And before we went to break, you were talking about just some of the interesting things that happened, some of the challenges with doing music with the Chinese language. Tell us more about what it's like teaching music in Taiwan. What makes music in Taiwan a unique experience for you teaching it?
Sure. So in Taiwan, there's a variety of music. You have Western classical music, somewhat of pop music and stuff, but then there's also a lot of Chinese music and Chinese folk music. But in terms of the music that I am involved with, it's really interesting and also a little mind-blowing. because in Taiwan and also in a few other countries, I know Indonesia has a similar system. If you go to conservatory or you're like a professional musician, you're going to read Western music notation with the five lines on the staff and the notes on little dots, all that fun stuff. But if you learn music in elementary school or you're an amateur musician, they read music in a system called jianpu, which is like a number notation, and the numbers equal solfege syllables. So they will have no staff, just numbers with some dots and dashes that indicate rhythm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, do is one, two is re. And so you just have numbers, but they say the solfege syllables. I was afraid when I started making practice recordings that I was going to have to learn my numbers even better than I had already practiced. But no, they do sing do, re, mi, even though it says one, two, three. So, yeah. So when I put out the choir music that people arrange for us or whoever, then I put it out in three versions. I make one version Chinese characters, Western notation. Then I make one with Western notation and pinyin so that our foreigners who don't read Chinese characters yet very well can sing. And then I make one that's just jianpu. So it's just a page like this arrangement of Thy Strong Word that Pastor Frank did was SAB. So it was a soprano, all the numbers, then the alto, all the numbers, then the Chinese, and then the men. And it was just a page of numbers.
Oh my goodness. I want to see this now. I'm very curious.
So if you're learning music like in an elementary school or as a child or a youth, and you're learning music using jianpu, when do you make that transition to Western music notation? Right. As it like to become a professional musician.
Right.
Where's that transition?
Well, I think if you like there's a girl in our church who is studying in a music school. And so she plays flute and I think she's learning violin too and piano. And she reads Western music notation. Mm-hmm. And to make it even more confusing, the people that do Western music notation, so jianpu is like movable do, right? So mm-hmm. whatever key it's in, that note is one or do. Mm-hmm. But the people that read Western music notation, they use fixed do.
Oh,
so middle
goodness.
C is always do. And I was at a choir festival and they said, okay, let's do the solfege. Okay, fine. But it was like in D major, let's say. And so, but then when we got to the F sharps, they still said fa, they just sang it sharp.
Ooh,
so yeah, there's a lot of things that are just really unfamiliar and take some getting used to.
Mm-hmm. I can't even go back and forth between fixed and movable
no.
dough, and I can read Western notation.
Well, it's so interesting because for me, going to fixed dough from movable dough is incredibly challenging. But when I've taught like Korean kids who grow up on fixed dough, the change to movable dough is not that hard.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Tell us more about when you're able to share Jesus with the people that you get to work with. I know you mentioned the school kids that got to come
right.
to Bible camp. What other opportunities do you have to talk uh-huh. about Jesus
yeah,
as you're
yeah.
teaching?
Well, I'll start with the school kids. There's a little girl who is going to the cram school. But she is 9 years old, and she also, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing, because she's at 9 years old, she'll just say, Dad, please take me to Friday night English Bible study, or Dad, please take me to Sunday morning worship. And she'll come and participate in everything. And so I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit will keep drawing her in and bring her to faith and hopefully baptism someday.
Yeah.
So other than that, I have some friends who actually introduced me to my little puppy, Haytang, which means black sugar. She's a little black poodle. And so Irene, who is one of this couple, she's been to church a couple times, but she's not joined the church or anything. She's just visited, and her husband is Buddhist. So I keep praying for them because they're just the sweetest couple, but they don't know Jesus. So we pray for them and pray for opportunities to share.
Tell us about the community where you live and serve.
Well, Jai is not that big of a city. I'm not exactly sure what the population is, but it's a smaller city for Taiwan. And I live actually in the regional headquarters for the OIM Asia, along with most of the regional staff and then some other people who serve just in Taiwan. And so a lot of my neighbors are missionaries, so it takes taking a walk with my dog to meet people sometimes. But other than that, the people that I meet are like my Chinese teachers, because I've been taking through the Jai University, and for some reason, they give me a new teacher every semester. I hope I'm not a terrible student, but at any rate, they like to mix things up every semester, which in some ways is good because I meet more people. In some ways is bad because sometimes I don't get an opportunity to then continue the relationship.
What does daily life look like? How do you get around? Like, how do you, you know, you've been there 2.5 years finding all the local things. Yes, the grocery store, all those things.
So there is a grocery store within walking distance, as well as some restaurants and stuff like that. Mindy has a scooter. My friend Barb has a scooter and a car. I'm not brave enough to do that yet, but she did tell me it took her 4 years to get the guts to get a scooter. So a lot of people drive scooters in Jai just because it's easier to find a parking space for a scooter than a car. Yeah. So mostly I walk or take the bus or find a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does a typical week look like for you? And maybe there is no typical week.
There is no typical week. It just depends what's coming up. If it's the Reformation Hymn Festival, if it's a outreach concert, if it's English Bible Camp. Every season is different, basically. Yeah.
How do you arrange your time then as you go through? It sounds like there's seasons to what you're doing, maybe sort of aligned with the seasons of the church year-ish.
Ish, yeah.
How do you arrange your time then with, I mean, you listed a long list of things that you get to do. How does that kind of flow throughout your time there?
Right. Well, so usually I take 2 3-hour Chinese lessons a week. So that takes up 2 mornings. And then in addition to that, you know, maybe I'm arranging music. Maybe I'm trying to put the Chinese into music or figure out the number system. Mindy and I go once a week to the after school program. Mm. So there's just always different stuff to get ready for. And then, you know, honestly, as a missionary, there's kind of, I don't know what you call it, administrative stuff. Sending thank you notes to the people that are praying for you and supporting you, like expense reports and reporting on what you're doing and newsletters. And so, you know, that stuff is important, but it takes up time as well. Yeah.
Doing interviews with
the coffee hour.
That's right. We are almost out of time, but really important question.
Yeah.
Favorite new food in Chinese culture.
Well, within walking distance, the two places I most frequently go are the dumpling shop.
Mm.
And then there's a place for $3.50 US, you can get sliced duck, rice, and vegetables.
There you go.
That sounds good.
That sounds amazing.
Wow.
Do you have a favorite dumpling?
You know, I'm really boring. I just eat the pork and cabbage ones.
I mean,
some people really love the kimchi ones, but I don't actually.
Pork and cabbage sounds good.
That sounds really good.
Mm. I mean, you can't really go wrong with dumplings, I feel like.
No.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. And folks can follow the Lord's work that he has you doing in Taiwan by visiting lcms.org/Bartelt, right?
That is correct.
They can find that
Not
there.
Not Bartlett, but Bartelt.
That's right. So we'll share that link in our program notes today as well. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.